Hey there, welcome to the Just Shayin' podcast. I'm Shay. The heart of this podcast is to simply rediscover and remain in the ways of Jesus within the 21st century. So pull up a chair or put in a headphone and let's chat about what a life looks like as we follow this man named Jesus. Hey, everybody.
Do I say hi too?
I don't know.
But I'm Hey, everyone.
Hi, everybody. This is Marge, one of my best friends, and I wanted to have her on an episode. There's like so many things me and Marge could talk about, and literally we could laugh for an hour, and this could actually be a comedy show. But we'll make it a little bit more pointed. So Marge wears many hats in the kingdom, in my opinion, but I wanted to get her on here and really talk about prayer. And I know that subject kind of is like, we've already figured all this out, like briskly move on. But the truth is, we haven't figured this out. And I think it is the thing that the enemy easily comes after in the most subtle ways. And so I wanted to bring Marge on here because something that she is amazing at is not just, praying for people as much as that is amazing, but Marge, throughout the long time that I've known her, has been able to create a prayer culture around her where it's not just her shundying heaven in her closet, but like she's has this ability and this gift to teach it and almost impart it, if you will. And so I wanted to bring her on here to not just talk about, yay, prayer, but also like, what are the things that come after us, like distraction, busyness, the things that people applaud for more than they're really applauding for our prayer life. And just, we kind of want to go after that. Is that cool with you, Marge?
Yeah, that's great. Let's do it.
So let's do this.
Let's go.
But I guess like for me, I just wanted to open up because I think like in the last few years, what I've noticed culturally, like in the church, and I did say that correctly, culturally in the church is this idea of like houses of prayer, which I love. Like I'm about the houses of prayer, established one in Atlanta. Like I'm here for that. But like sometimes we get this idea of like how do you hold the tension of a house of prayer and like a lifestyle of prayer? I think sometimes we can be like, oh, like this big house of prayer, but it's like, you have to establish within yourself this mm-hmm. desire, mm-hmm. To be almost become your own house of prayer, if you will, like a personal prayer life. And it's not just like watching it on a YouTube channel. It's like you personally creating a space and a pocket for prayer. Because culturally, I think we celebrate it. It's kind of a thing that's being talked about, like this, how prayer movements like intertwining with missions movements. And there's all these talks, right? And it's really awesome. I love it. I'm here for it. I think going into a new year, we have this idea of something fresh and like, okay, I want to grow in this area and I want to grow in that area. And I want, you know, all these things. And I don't know, like the simplicity of your prayer life is, it feels so complex because it's the thing that the enemy goes after. And all of a sudden you look up and it's like months later and you don't really have a prayer life because you've become busy. And so I don't know, just I'm trying to figure out how I even open the conversation really, but like, right. Because it's such a talked about thing, but it's really simple, but it can be complex. I guess like, what do you feel like the Lord is doing in prayer, like a prayer movement? I'm doing quotations with my hands because I think it's always supposed to be there. It's not like a movement, like it's nothing new.
Well, I think maybe from just my experience or, you know, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that I've been able to pull on with prayer life, it really is just yielding to the conversation that you have with the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. And I really believe that a prayer life, a prayer culture is the actual vertebrae of the body, of the house. Mm-hmm. And, the vertebrae shouldn't be seen. That's the thing. It often, the prayer movements are the ones that we're seeing demonstrated, the ones that we're seeing expressed, all so beautiful, all so genuine. I think that probably comes from so much hiddenness of, mm-hmm. you know, when I say vertebrae, the vertebrae keeps, you know, the neck and the back and all of, and the spine and everything into complete alignment. And so you're not necessarily always aware that your vertebrae is doing its function, but you are definitely experiencing that it's doing its function. Wow. Otherwise, you're in the hospital, you're getting discs fixed or whatever that is. And so I think it needs to just start with, I think the most healthiest kind of prayer culture begins with understanding that it's a function that allows alignment for that house or, you know, maybe a bigger movement, the church. And like you said, Shay, too, it has to start from within. It has to start from you, and it has to start to yielding to those conversations. And I've heard so many people, this is a true statement, but I think it has to go further. Like, we need to take a step further where it's like, prayer is just communication with God, and prayer is a conversation with God. Yes, it is that, but the conversation must actually bring the transformation or bring heaven to earth. Like, there's so many prayers in the Bible, and prayer is worship. Prayer is that reflective, you know, silent prayer, pondering. How many times do we read in the Bible and the gospel? Mary was visited by an angel. She was given a word about the Messiah that she was carrying. She said a prayer, and then it says in scripture, she pondered these things in her heart. Like, that's a form of prayer. We see kings and priests and the Levites, they did a ceremonial types of prayer. We see the prayer of desperation. I mean, there's so much beautiful doctrine and theology and teaching on the different types of prayer. But I think that to have an awareness that it's not just one type, that there's so many ways that you're already expressing prayer, and maybe you don't have the knowledge of that. And I think you get so stuck that prayer just looks like I'm in my closet, quote unquote, like we say, and I'm dedicating this hour of reading and then praying, and then I'm praying for my family and I'm covering my checklist. But it's like, in everything, it is the conversation. And then once that conversation happens, you're either pondering in your heart, applying it for the appointed time, or releasing it for the appointed time. And so back to that picture of it being like the backbone, like the vertebrae of the church, you have to understand that most of what you are praying, you will probably not share. And you'll probably ponder with the Holy Spirit for quite some time. And there's so many times where I'm like with the Holy Spirit and we're championing. I call championing, if you don't like to use the word interceding, because I'm an intercessor. But in certain circles, you know, that's like a word we don't need to use. It's just not maybe conducive to that community. But championing, Holy Spirit and I, we are partnering and championing, contending for a community or a person. And then we see something come to pass that's been revealed from heaven to earth. And you're like, wow, like, I hear from God, you know, like, why wouldn't I want to continue this conversation throughout my lifetime? So I think that's just like one layer of it. There's so many layers, but I think that's probably one of the most foundational layers when it comes to a prayer life that births a prayer culture and community. So
that's so good, because I think, like, sometimes, like you said this, like, sometimes we think our prayer life consists of, okay, I'm gonna go in my prayer closet, you know, like we think of the movie The War Room, which, great movie,
love it,
great movie, put it on the movie list, but I think sometimes we forget, like, it's the day-to-day, the ponderings, the meditations of our heart, the even that is worship and prayer, and it doesn't just happen in a prayer closet. So sometimes it's like, well, okay, I got to go to my prayer closet, and that is very applicable, but it's not the totality of the conversation. So some of us may be praying more than we think we are.
Yeah, exactly.
And instead of being like, oh my gosh, like, you know, so-and-so down the street prays, you know, 10 hours a week in her prayer closet, and I just have like 5 minutes from my, you know, work.
Yeah.
Work. And it's like, stop comparing what looks like you're like the self-righteousness aspects of it, and just be like, how do I pray? Like looking at our life going like, wow, like I actually pray more than I think I do. Like even while you were talking, I was like, man, there's times where I'm literally just driving and I'm meditating, I'm pondering on things that he's spoke to me, or like the scriptures that I've read. And I'm like, wait, like that's prayer life. Like it's more than just me, my Bible, a journal, and a devotional on my couch, you know, while I sip coffee, which I like that, but it's so much more to it. And I think it's almost like when you start looking through that lens, you're like, wait, like I probably do pray more than I think I do. And there's something like there's something beautiful in that. What I guess like too, like what would you say, like, cause I think if there's something that the enemy can come after, I think one of the big things is prayer. Like to make you think you're not praying enough, or you're not praying like at all, the busyness, right? Like what I loved you said is about the vertebrae. Like you don't see that it's working, but you know it's working because your head's still in place and your back's still in place. And there's something about that almost goes against cultural, because the vertebrae is probably one of the most significant things in your body, but it doesn't get the most attention.
Right. Until there's damage to it.
Right.
It's the only time we find damage, when we experience damage to the vertebrae, is when we the pain receptors come in and you have to go see a doctor. And so spiritually speaking, when, you know, we're going through trials and tribulations, we're lost in our identity, whatever, you're going through it. And you're like, okay, I need to see a doctor about this pain. Obviously, the doctor, Jesus himself, the one who is the mediator, is our intercessor, always interceding on our behalf. He already knew this. And then you still have that. Like, it's not going to pass you by. Like, you're always going to be able to catch it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, another thing about prayer, I think that, you know, I want to talk to maybe you've been in ministry, or, you know, you're doing the work of the Lord, your hand is on the plow, whether you're church planting, whether you're on the mission field, you know, let's just say you've just been doing the thing for a while. And I think that is the time where you are supposed to get the prayer closet and dedicate that time, because that is when the demands of ministry, or the demands of what you have your hands to, begin to probably pull you away from the authentic yielding of conversation with the Holy Spirit. So I would say it works backwards. You know, I think sometimes we take, you know, like a new believer, and we're like, and it's so noble. There's nothing wrong with this, because it is effective. But I think sometimes we put this almost conviction or demand on the new believer to be like, okay, this is what you do. This is you get a devotional, you get in a life group, these are great things to start them off. But I guarantee you, unless they're asking for navigating this, I think most new believers have already yielded, maybe without understanding it fully, that they are praying, that as a new believer, you're praying to God, because you responded to salvation. That's the first prayer you ever prayed. Yeah. Like, Lord, I want you in my life. I confess my sins. I'm repenting. That's the first prayer you ever prayed. And so forgive me for my sins. I want to walk in your ways. And when you're fresh into that, you are like, I want to, just like a baby, I want to eat. I'm going to cry out to my mama or my papa. I need to be changed. All those things, like, you're actually already expressing that. And it's later on when you kind of step into your calling, your destiny, your assignments, you're maturing, you're seasoning, you're, you know, being seasoned in the Lord. And it's like, oh, wait a second. Like, the demands of time, and as I'm growing into this, I actually do need to get that devotional. I actually do need to set aside this time. I actually do need to step into intercession and grow in this. So I think it works backwards. I think I really do. That might be controversial. That might be like, huh, that doesn't make sense. But hey, why do we do these things? I'm telling you, I think we've done a lot of things backwards. I think those who have been in ministry the most probably need to be more aware and diligent to set aside that time in a, like a really authentic way. So,
yeah, no, I agree. So like, I mean, cause that's even part of my own story, like on the field, completely burned out. And the one thing I lacked was the discipline to actually unplug for a second and just pray.
Yeah, because we already know it all.
Yeah, like the demands of people pulling on you in a third world country, people need you, like there's always somebody there and it's like, ah, like, and then all of a sudden you're like, it's okay, it's okay. Like he's sufficient. And then like, I remember just being like, whoa, like, I don't know where my secret place went. Like, I don't even know if I have one, like, to be honest, like, because the demands were high. Instead, I mean, I think I'm even thinking of Jesus, like Jesus would pull away and he would say, okay, right. I'm going to go and pray. Right. And like, it says like he tended to a secret place. Like he would go and get away with the Father. But I mean, there was high demand on Jesus, like way more than high demand on any of us, probably. I mean, different world, different culture, but like he would pull away.
Yeah.
And go be with the Father. And I remember, like, it's so crucial. Like, and like, I love how you said, like, a new believer, like, it's like, there is like different shoes, right? There's like maturity right. aspects that along the way, right? Like, that just cause it to look different and things. I actually loved what you shared, because I think, like, we do put all these high expectations and demands on somebody that's like, wait, I don't even like, what is that? Like, mm-hmm. but the older we get, like, there becomes that rhythm, right? Of, I don't know, like I'm obviously single, not married, but I think of you and Brent, even your husband, like in those early years, it was like, we're together, there's zeal, there's like, I want to be with him, like all this stuff, right? And then as you get older and you've done time together, it's like you fight for it in a different way.
And that's a really good point, because I would say this to every person out there who just like loves Jesus. You know, this topic of prayer, I think sometimes it's so easy to feel like this condemnation or like not another prayer talk, because let's be real, you're probably feeling like you're lacking in that. But let me just tell you something that will probably free you is that, hey, it's this simple, okay? Your lack of a prayer life, but your desire to want it, the reason is you've just become really familiar with the Holy Spirit, and wow. you've become familiar with the Lord. And like, I'm not saying familiar like, oh, you know him, so it's okay. I'm talking like the wonder and the awe. And so how do you bring that back? Pray for it back. Just Lord, I've lost that awe and that wonder, not the zeal. Like the zeal may even still be there, but you know, like you've just become familiar with the things of God. Like, how can we even say that in a sentence? Well, you know, maybe you've just been more in even a charismatic house or movement where I've seen the healings, I've seen the blind eyes, I've seen the limbs growing, I've seen the glory cloud, I've seen the gold dust, I've felt it all, I've shaked, I've baked, I've cried, like all those things. But just retreating back, pondering things in your heart, like it says even in 2 Corinthians, you know, 3:16, just like beholding the Lord and like reflecting who he is and just having those conversations just to bring back that like awe and that wonder again is probably just going to be the most vital thing that you can do to revive your prayer life. And I say that to you with like no condemnation, because we don't have condemnation in Christ. Right. But I think that sometimes people just want to like bypass a prayer conversation because it becomes too complex in their mind, because for some reason, somewhere, someone told us we had to do like certain things with post-its and the, like all the things where it's like, actually just pray for that awe and that wonder to come back. Good. And like, you're going to want to talk to him again and just repent for the familiarity that you've had, like see him with that new lens, like a refreshing lens. And so I think that, you know, I'll give another example. Like, if you ever liked math like I did, I started with pre-algebra, you know, like x minus 2 equals, you know, 12. What is the value of x? Like, we had to find that, and it was like, I liked doing that. I don't know if you did, but then we went to, you know, okay, now we're going to do geometry and trigonometry. And then I was in calculus class, and I'm doing like the linears and all the finding out how to solve these, you know, calculus problems. And somebody put a pre-algebra equation in front of me. And I couldn't solve it anymore because I got so complex. The complexities like took me to a different place. And I was like, x minus 2 equals, okay, what's the value of x? Like, why couldn't I do this? I just had to go back to the simplicity of pre-algebra, right? I use that as an example because I want you to, if you're listening, like right now, like I want a revival even in my prayer life. It begins in that, in the heart, but it begins with like coming in with humility and like the simplicity of that. And then let the complexities come with the adventure of the Holy Spirit, but at least you'll have understanding in that. So I don't know. I just think it's a lot more of a simple conversation than like, this is what you do, A, B, C, this is what this looks like. And I was really hoping, you know, to share like stories of how, when prayers were answered, not just for myself, but like for other people. And just for the sake of time, like if you're listening out there, like, why don't you do that? Like take the next 20 minutes to just sit down and remember, even in the last year, what prayers have I seen answered, even in the littlest moments, a bill that was paid, like somebody came through for you, like even just praying, you know, before you had to have a confrontational conversation and just, Lord, I need you in this. And the grace fell, like those little things to just bring you back to remembering.
It's true. It's so good. I was thinking while you were talking, like just the awe and the wonder, like there's a scripture, I needed to look it up, but I didn't, like where the disciples look at each other and they go, who is this man? And it's like they had been walking with him for however long. And like there's aspects where he was starting to become familiar. It's like, oh, like, okay. They're like, oh, okay, this is probably what he would do. Or, okay, familiar, okay, familiar. And then there's this one moment, and it's in John. And I have to look up the chapter. But it says they looked at each other and they were like, wait, who is this man? Because they were blown away again by the fact that I can't put him in a box. I don't know what he's going to do. And that's what keeps me on the edge of my seat. That's what like, it keeps me wanting to come back for more of like, wait, how are you going to do this? And like, what is that? And just like that wonder and that awe, the childlikeness that we so easily want to graduate because it's the thing that usually isn't applauded in our Christian resume, if you will. But it's the thing that is like so pleasing to him. And I love that. To me, it's like, it is, it's the fuel for prayer life is like the awe and the wonder of like, when I'm not familiar with thinking how he's going to do it or, oh, he's done that before. Like when I start to go that way, my prayer life, quote unquote, like whatever in that season it'll look like or whatever, starts to kind of diminish, right?
Right.
And it's like, oh no, like I lost that flame is what it feels like. And it is, it's that simple prayer of like, God, like you've become familiar and I want you to almost bring and restore curiosity as to who are you?
And what are you doing?
And what are you doing? Yeah. Because we don't really know.
Yeah. What's the solution?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't ever like leave a room without wanting to even end it with my heart. As I said, I'm an intercessor. I love to pray for hours. I love to stand in the gap. I love to partner with what the Holy Spirit is doing, especially for where I live, especially for, you know, fellow ministers around me, the weary ones. But I want to just, before even like leaving, I want to just charge those who are listening, that you are an intercessor.
Come on.
Like, you're so seen by the Lord. You're so known. Not that you, we don't even want to be, but, you know, it's, I always say that the prayer warriors, you know, we've probably heard that, the intercessors, the prayer warriors, the ones who stand in the gap, like the praying mamas and papas out there, like, you're the unseen and unsung superpowers of the church.
Yeah.
And not that you need that accolade. You're probably going to shy away from it even right now as you're listening, but just how pleased the Holy Spirit is to champion alongside you and partner with you and seeing things come to pass, but that you're just like not alone. And if you are like a minister that has an intercessor, that has a praying people or a prayer group, that you are like, oh yeah, I have like a group of people that I send them my stuff, or in our church during the service, like, to take a moment to just honor them, you know, because it's a beautiful work, and it's a beautiful thing to do. And I just been feeling God say in these last 3 years that the prayers of the saints are going to be such an aroma to him in this hour. And there have been so many intercessors out there. Like, I've seen a vision, like, you've been like alone, quote unquote, not with anyone else, just you and the Holy Spirit, even in your living room, in your room, contending. But those, like, those days are over. Like, there's just going to be such a knitting with prayer. I don't know, like, prayer cultures all over, prayer movements all over. And there's just going to be this divine knitting that is going to allow us to, like, actually tangibly sense that unity amongst each other. So I want to charge you, intercessor, to, like, keep going. And
come on.
And as it says, like, doing things unto the Lord, and where there is weariness, just like speaking strength to that, that there's joy. There's like a joy in your intercession. So I just wanted to say that too before like leaving.
I love it. Well, that was amazing. I know that you just charged everybody, all the intercessors, but I would love if you just ended us in prayer.
Yeah, let's do that. Thank you, Lord. Wow, God, thank you so much for what you're just doing in the body of Christ. Thank you for what you are revealing to the ones that are just beholding you, the ones that are, we mentioned it earlier in this podcast about just the things that people have been pondering in their hearts, just like Mary did. She pondered and she carried things in her heart, and she knew the appropriate time in which to release it. One was in a song, and one was when she had to let go of her son right there on the cross, actually understanding just the magnitude and maybe the weight of what was transpiring on the earth. And so, God, just like what Mary did in pondering, I pray over every individual that's just listening to this, to those that want to revive their prayer life, to those that want to sanctify a time of prayer, and to those who just want to learn more. Holy Spirit, the best teacher and advocate of all, would you just come? Would you just come and teach us how to pray? Would you just come and give the revelation of who you are through the way that we pray? Can you allow us, Holy Spirit, would you allow us to come into like the knowledge and the treasures of wisdom to pray things of heaven down to earth in a way that is actually going to transform not just ourselves, but the people around us, that we pray the word, that we pray the word rightly, that even as we pray, we see you rightly, Father, we see ourselves rightly, and we see others rightly. And that's going to be what's going to charge us to pray prayers that are effective, accountable, and measurable, Father God. And I just release the power and the heart of prayer for those who are just listening, Father God. I just release like an encouragement and a strength to those who have been feeling weary in this area, that the enemy can no longer steal your joy and your peace, that there is just joy in your prayer and intercession, God. I thank you that you are just going to uncap houses, ministries, and churches into divine alignment into a prayer culture in greater measures than they've ever known before, Father God. And we just release that over everyone in Jesus' name.
Wow. Thank you, Marge.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks for listening in. And y'all have a great day or night, wherever, whatever time it is, wherever you are. Woohoo! Thank you.